Happy trails to you.
This is Phil Nee wishing you all the best happy trails until we talk again later on WRCO-FM Richland Center. We'll stop by with a little community conversation coming up next hour here on the radio. Our news at 9 from ABC News is sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including their legendary pizza, their video games, and, of course, bowling at the Phoenix Center in downtown Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Tonight's one-on-one debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is a lot riding on it. ABC's Mary Bruce is in Philadelphia with the latest.
Both teams well aware that tonight is likely to be the largest audience of this campaign, and the candidates go into this very much with the same goal, to reach out and sway those key independent voters, but they're preparing to do it in very different ways. Harris's goal tonight is to define her plans and then pivot and put the spotlight on Trump and his policies, while Trump is hoping that he can hit Harris on her record. Trump's team is also hoping he can stay on message, while Harris is hoping she can needle him and throw him off course.
Tropical storm Francine is gaining strength. It's expected to become a hurricane later today and hit the Louisiana coast tomorrow as a Category 2. Nearly half the population of Timor-Leste saw the Pope celebrate Mass today. The small Southeast Asian country is almost entirely Catholic. 600,000 of its citizens attended the Mass today. This is ABC News. On Capitol Hill today, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will face questions from a House subcommittee about his response to the COVID pandemic. The testimony coming a day after the Republican-led committee released a report criticizing Cuomo for policies that had nursing homes readmit patients who had tested positive. New study is taking a look at the effect that the pandemic had on teens. Researchers say girls appear to have a tougher time during the lockdown as boys. ABC's Dr. Alok Patel.
The authors hypothesize that adolescent girls were affected more than boys because they may be more dependent on that social interaction.
The study found that the brains of teenagers appeared to age faster during the pandemic than at the normal rate. Two of the world's biggest tech companies on the hook for billions in the European Union. Apple has lost its final challenge against an order to pay over $14 billion in back taxes in Ireland. And Google lost its last legal challenge for an EU antitrust fine of $2.7 billion. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and Sunday at 4 p.m. with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469, for carryouts from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
Community First Bank makes switching easy. Our bankers use switch assistance to help you change over direct deposits, loan payments, bill payees, recurring transfers, and much more. Plus, you'll get more from your checking account relationship. Switch today and experience firsthand how Community First Bank, a local community bank, puts you first.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC.
A high in the low 80s expected for today. A slight chance of a shower. Also winds from the south between 7 and 14. Tonight, isolated light showers possible early, then partly cloudy, a low of 57. Wednesday, lots of sunshine and rather warm, a high of 85. Wednesday night, mainly clear and quiet, a low of 56. Thursday, mostly sunny and very warm with a high in the upper 80s.
Meister Log and Lumber Company would like to remind all landowners with timber property that their trees are a valuable asset. You can rely on Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage your property's timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service will host a Plan and Protect for Today and Tomorrow seminar on Wednesday, September 18th in Richland Center and Thursday, September 19th in Muscadet. We encourage people to sign up and attend the seminars to learn how to make a plan which makes the final decisions easier for your loved ones. This is a wonderful opportunity to learn how making simple choices can be one of the greatest gifts you can give to those you love. If you have questions or would like to sign up, please contact us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We look forward to seeing you at the Plan and Protect for Today and Tomorrow seminar.
What if there were a way to be more efficient with less effort, to achieve peak performance with less energy? Well, thanks to Carrier GreenSpeed Intelligence, What If is now What Is. A home comfort system with GreenSpeed Intelligence is smarter than your average system. It can run longer at lower speeds to maximize your comfort and your home's energy efficiency. It understands your home and how you live in it. How cool is that? GreenSpeed Intelligence, available only from Carrier. Carrier, turn to the experts.
See Ash Creek Plumbing, Heating, and Electric.
Today's specials are country and community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO. I'm Phil Nee, and we are joined in the studio by some Red Cross volunteers and also by some personnel from the American Red Cross, and talk about the crucial need for blood donations and for volunteers in the area. Bob Scheer, local coordinator, is in the studio with us, along with executive director for the Southwest area for the Red Cross, Kyle Kriegel, and Diane Nichols, who's a blood services account manager, is in the studio with us as well. So, Bob, you have another drive coming up next week, is that right?
Yes, I do, Phil, the 18th of September. And right now we've got 83. We're hoping for more.
So looking for more signups then?
Oh, yes.
As always?
They seem like they wait until the last day and then they come in. But we do accept some walk-ins if there happens to be some openings. And my wife and I both look forward to seeing them come in.
Well, then that's good to know, because we get that call at the radio station sometimes. Hey, can we just walk in? And you wouldn't turn anybody away, would you?
If there's an opening, they will not get turned away.
Mm-hmm. So how is the best way for people to apply or get a place in advance of that?
Well, if they would call their Red Cross at 1-800-733-2627 and make their appointment, it would be a lot easier, and that way then they would be on the schedule.
There is a blood drive coming up this the 18th, and then you have another one right before the end of the year. It's hard to believe it's getting that close to the end of the year, Bob.
Oh, God, yes.
When you look at things going on for that drive, are you giving away anything for donors that day or anything special?
We are giving away socks in November. They're going to be red socks or gray socks, and one size fits all.
All right. Yeah, you give me a picture of those. Those are pretty cool. A friend's pair, and it's got a heart on them, too. So that's awesome. We look forward to that. Kyle Kriegel is here as well. How you doing,
yeah,
Kyle?
Yeah. Hey, good, Phil. I do just want to add a couple of things to what Bob was talking about there. There will be a giveaway next week for those that come to donate an e-gift card to a merchant of their choice. So another nice incentive for folks to come out and donate. But I do want to just also add, too, that this summer we've had a blood shortage. July, August were some pretty tough months for us nationwide with blood collections. And if you think about it, we've had, all that terrible heat out west. I mean, who wants to come out and donate blood when it's over 100 degrees, and certainly hurricanes and storms. So we've seen a drop off in blood donations. And so we're kind of coming out of that. So we are encouraging folks to come out and donate and help with Bob's drive here in Richland Center next week. But also, I want to just say that we've also seen a drop-off in blood donors. over the last decade. And so one of the things that we're really trying to get and entice is new blood donors to come out and donate to the American Red Cross. You can really make a difference by donating blood, and it's easy. I mean, you know, Bob just gave the phone number, but hey, if you got everybody's got a smartphone, you can just download the Red Cross blood app on your phone. You can find out wherever the closest blood drive is in your area and make an appointment. Or as Bob said, you know, you're welcome. Walk-ins are welcome. So we make it as easy as we can for you, but we really are encouraging new donors to come out to all of our drives because we do need new blood donors.
If someone comes in, what are the typical concerns, Kyle, if somebody does not want to, or maybe they're being a little bit apprehensive about giving blood?
You know, I always say it's always good to bring a friend or a family member or a colleague with you just to kind of go through the process together. But also, if you go to our website, if you got the app on your phone, you know, it gives you some really good tips. You know, make sure you feel well. You want to make sure you're, you know, feeling healthy and able to donate. And I always encourage folks, you know, make sure you're well hydrated, have a good meal. And I was going to mention, Bob's got some great canteen stuff for us if you give blood that day. So, but typically, again, you know, if you're a little nervous, just bring a friend with you. And then make sure you're well hydrated and feeling healthy enough. I would throw it to Diane. Diane, anything you want to add to that?
One other thing that I would recommend is bring an ID with you. People drive in, leave their purse in the car, leave their wallet in the car, but bring an ID. We do need to have that identification with you.
Okay, that's important as well. Mm-hmm. And you'd encourage new donors when a new donor comes in. I'm sure you always try to be a cheerleader for them, don't you?
Definitely. If I was there, I would help them at the bedside. And I know Bob has great volunteers. They can take their mind off the donation process. Like Kyle said, bring a friend in. They can also keep their mind off of it. That's the biggest thing is get your mind off of it. You're helping somebody out in the end. Keep that in mind, and you'll walk out of there feeling great.
How long does it typically take, Diane?
Donation takes about an hour. There's some things you can do, hour and 15 minutes. Between there, some things you can do, make your appointment, and then you should get an email with what we call rapid pass. It doesn't get you to the head of the line. It just is your reading materials and your health history questions in advance. You bring in that QR code, and that saves you a little bit of time at the health history.
And so, their weight requirement is 110, and for iron count, if you have a good iron count of 13 to 15, that also gives a good count for a blood donor.
What are some other things you wanted to talk about today, Kyle?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to kind of just share that, you know, the Red Cross is very busy here in Richland County. Just wanted to share some statistics over the last, our fiscal year that just ended in June. We did respond to one fire this last year and helped one family. But I also wanted to just say, just recently we had a fire that we responded to in Viola. So we have been very busy. And we did install some free smoke alarms, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. We had 22 blood drives and collected 950 units of blood here in Richland County. So almost to the 1,000 mark, but we're getting there. But I do want to just thank everybody for coming out to those 22 drives this last fiscal year. We trained a few folks in first aid, CPR, AED, and we trained 55 lifeguards and trained people in swim lessons. So keeping the community safe that way. We also provided 10 services to service to the armed forces to veterans and active duty military families. And we have 3 registered volunteers here in Richland County, so we could definitely use more, like Bob and his wife Heidi and others, Norma. So if folks can, you can go to redcross.org to learn about volunteer opportunities right here in Richland County. And then also, you know, you can do it in person. We've got virtual opportunities, so lots and lots of different opportunities to become a volunteer. As I mentioned a little earlier, the smoke alarms, I can't believe it, but we were just talking before the show started that fall is here, and that means home heating season will be right around the corner. And that's one of the things where we see an uptick in home fires each year for several different reasons. And so one of the things that part of the American Red Cross that we want to make sure of is that you have working smoke alarms in your home. that can get, you know, alert you when there's a fire in your home and get out. We want to make sure that we prevent deaths caused by home fires as much as we can, and a working smoke alarm can do that. You can go to redcross.org/Wisconsin smoke alarms to make an appointment. We'll bring out a volunteer team that will come into your home and install free smoke alarms. We'll also work with you to develop a plan on what to do. Make sure 2 exits in each room and a meeting place outside. So just some basic stuff like that. Also, we'll help you identify potential hazards in your home. Typically, it's the kitchen, you know, stove, you know, that kind of stuff. But I just want to stress that, you know, working smoke alarms can save lives. This year, we've seen a lot of deaths occur here in Wisconsin because of home fires. I think of one just north of here in Nisida this summer, where 6 people lost their lives in a home. So I want to make sure that folks do know that the American Red Cross does offer free smoke alarms. We will come in your home and install them for you. We just did one the other day in Janesville, and I have to say that, you know, we typically do about 3 alarms in each home, but for those that are hard of hearing, we also do have a bed shaker and a strobe alarm for folks that maybe have impairments that need that help. So we've got that available for folks. And again, it's free. And we want to make sure, again, that folks are safe so that they have a fire in their home, they get out safely.
How does a bed shaker work? I've never heard of that.
Again, what that does is that, you know, if you're hard of hearing, you wouldn't hear the smoke alarm, but you would feel the bed shake if you were sleeping during the night. And so that does help, because it does detect the smoke in the air.
That's an awesome thing that the American Red Cross does then, free of charge.
And free, yep.
Takes the worry off somebody. Oh, is this one working, or where should I properly put it?
Yep.
You take care of all those things then.
We do. And again, our goal is to try to reduce the number of deaths caused by home fires. So, that kind of leads me right into September is National Preparedness Month. So September Preparedness, National Preparedness Month, you know, we really stress build a kit, make a plan, get trained. So if you think about a kit, you know, what would you want to put in your kit? Well, a lot of us think about, and again, winter is right around the corner too. You know, making sure you've got, you know, extra blanket in your car, or, you know, maybe a snowmobile suit or something like that. Yes, that it would be similar to that, but, you know, we stress, like, for in your home, you know, maybe have food, water, and medicine. So if you have any prescriptions, make sure you got extra of those available. Backup batteries and chargers for your phone, or if you have a CPAP device or wheelchair, etc., you know, make sure you've got the device, the ability to charge those things if you need that. A battery-powered crank radio, and, you know, any kind of personal records that you may need in your kit, especially medical records. So those would be some things to put in your kit. When you're thinking about putting a kit together, typically you want to think about a 3-day supply to take with you. So if you want to take that kit and go somewhere, try to have it for 3 days. If your stay-at-home kit, you want to try to think about, you know, having 2 weeks worth of food and water. And we all have pets. Don't forget your pets. You know, their food, or if they've got any prescription or medications that they're on, you know, think about your pets as well. For all of this, you can go to redcross.org to learn what to do to put together in your kit, or again, 1-800-RED-CROSS. Just some great tips for you. We do have an emergency app that you can download for free that will walk you through a lot of these things as well.
Kyle, where's the best place to put a kit like that in case of emergency?
Well, I you want to kind of have it right by your door so you're ready to go. Maybe that closet by the door, or just somewhere where it's accessible and easy to go to grab and go right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for the pets, kind of the same thing too.
Yeah. Again, but you may want to have your pet carrier with you. So, you know, make sure that that's accessible as well.
Mm-hmm. All good. We hope no one ever needs them.
But, I hope not. No. Yes. Right. I hope not. But again, being prepared, in Wisconsin, you got to be prepared for anything. It could happen. So
yeah, and the cold weather as well. You know.
Yeah, and I was going to say again, we do a lot of traveling here in Wisconsin, is making sure you think about, you know, getting prepared in your car for winter travel. Whether that's, I mentioned earlier, a blanket, flashlight, some extra batteries, maybe a battery powered radio, but also think about maybe, you know, some granola bars or just something to eat to kind of keep you sustained if you do have an emergency situation on the road.
Okay, and that time's coming. You mentioned helping the Red Cross, helping out with fires too. Volunteers from all over the area just kind of come in when needed then.
Yep, but we are looking for volunteers in all different kinds. But disaster would be one that we're really looking for help with. And again, you can go to redcross.org to learn more about those volunteer opportunities. But yeah, certainly local disaster volunteers, you know, even blood donor ambassadors at our blood drives.
Mm-hmm. You can always use more of those, right?
Absolutely. So. We've got Bob keeping people in line at the local blood drive. And so we've got to make sure that we've got folks to kind of help support our blood drives.
Bob, you can always use more help with setup and teardown too, can't you?
Yes, I can. And what I'm also trying to stress for volunteers, we would like to have a couple of volunteers to come in and kind of help the nurses, so when they're done with the person from giving blood, that they can walk the person from the cot over to the canteen area, so that way we've had a couple of people in the last couple of blood drives kind of pass out for a little bit, but or be off, or they would get awful dizzy on their way over there. So this way, then we would have someone to help them get to the canteen area to sit down. Or
been there, done that. I know what that's about. So some people do, but it's a rarity, right, Diane?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a rarity. The best thing to do is make sure you're well prepared to give blood. Eat something an hour before you come. Lots of water. Can't stress that enough.
Sure. Before and after then, Kyle, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say one last thing to share with your audience today. The American Red Cross, we are looking to honor everyday heroes. Oh. And we are looking for hero nominations. You can, again, go to redcross.org/Wisconsin heroes nominations. For the Southwest chapter, we are looking for six categories: community impact hero, a disaster responder hero, a military hero, blood hero, youth and young adult hero, and volunteer hero, or volunteer hero of the year. So those are our six categories. And so we encourage the community, if you'd like, if you know some folks that have done some great things in the community and we want to make sure that they're recognized, please feel free to go to our website and nominate a hero today.
There are a lot of local heroes out there that don't do it for the recognition, but it's really cool to be able to recognize them, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we want to make sure that these folks are recognized for the good deeds that they do. You know, so oftentimes we hear of negative things that are going on. It's always nice to hear of a great story of somebody that's stepped up and done something in their community to make it better or help somebody in their greatest time of need.
Do you have like a banquet set aside when you honor those folks?
We do. We're taking nominations now through December 31st, and next spring we'll have a banquet to honor those folks.
Okay. So people can be nominating them right now then?
Right now. It's open. The website is up. There's no excuse. If you got somebody, please put them in right away.
Get at it. Sure. Diane, as you look at coordinating drives, do you do these in quite a few different area towns and cities as well?
I have a little bit of Greene County, a little bit of Dane County, Iowa County, a little bit of Richland County, and a little bit of Sauk County. So Monroe to Richland Center is kind of, and Mineral Point is kind of the circle I do. So.
That's a large area.
It keeps changing and growing, and yes, it's a wonderful area. I love the travel. I'm looking forward to the fall when I get to see some pretty bluffs.
You do. Now, is that set in stone, or can, if another area was interested in organizing a drive, are you open for that too?
If they can contact me, it's diane.nichols@redcross.org, and I can pass it along to their account, the person in their territory.
And Nichols is spelled?
N-I-C-H-O-L-S.
That's what I thought, but just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
You mentioned, Kyle, too, about CPR and that kind of training. Do you typically schedule those throughout the year?
Actually, I would say since the pandemic, most of our training is done online. So a lot of times folks can go right online to Red Cross, go into our training services, and you can sign up for a class right online. There are sites where you would go to do the testing out of your skills. But the nice thing is that we're making it more accessible for folks. go online and make take the training that you need. Also, that goes for babysitters training. I know we've got a lot of folks that like to take babysitters training out there as well, and that's another one of our courses that are available online.
Okay. Yeah, so that does make it easier for folks that maybe with work schedules and things like that. To
at your own pace, you
get mm-hmm. it done. Yeah, and very important to have those skills too.
Absolutely. Again, you never know when you need them. I will just share with you, over the weekend, on Sunday, one of the best parts of my job, I was able to present two ladies that actually it was a ping pong tournament where a gentleman had just finished his match, sat in his chair and collapsed, and they snapped right into action, called 911, began doing CPR, saved his they did CPR until the ambulance arrived, and they saved this gentleman's life. And there's just nothing better feeling to know that, you know, two people in the community that saved this gentleman's life. They knew what to do. They snapped right into action. It just was so powerful to see them. And I was so happy to honor them for the extraordinary actions that they took to save that gentleman's life. It was earlier this year in April when this had happened. And so a tragedy turned into a very positive thing.
Gives you chills.
It does. It really does. Yeah. And they knew what to do right away. They didn't we didn't even think about it. So
yeah, unbelievable. Well, that's great to have that skill because you never know if you might need it someday.
That's right.
So
that's
absolutely right. Staying alive, the Bee Gees, right?
That's right.
Yes. Staying alive, absolutely.
That's right.
I've gone through a class or two there. What's on the canteen menu for next week, Bob?
Next week we are doing barbecue again, but in November. Get your mouth watering good. If you love turkey, we're having turkey and stuffing sandwiches.
Ooh, good stuff. So that's all a part of giving then. So,
yes.
And some nice cookie treats too, maybe.
Oh, yes. Red Cross brings a lot of nice snacks. And then we have our good Subway donates cookies right fresh out of the oven. The same day, and Shriver's donates the yogurt, and the locker donates all the hamburger I need for the barbecue.
So we look forward to that at the next drives, the next two drives.
And then Quick Trip is where I get all the hamburger buns from.
So you couldn't do it without your sponsors and your
That's
businesses.
Right.
Right, exactly. Diane, we talked about first-time donors, but sometimes, like some of the drives that Bob and Heidi and company host, you hear about people and all the blood they've given. You have some people that have an incredible longevity for giving, right?
We can't thank the donors that have given gallons of blood. We really appreciate all they've done. I'm trying to go through my mind really quickly, and I think I've mailed out 40 pint pin, could be more than that, but that's the one that comes to mind. Is and great donors, can't thank them enough.
40 pint pin, wow.
40 pint pin.
Yeah, that's a great plateau to get to. Not very many people probably do. So.
No, I'm struggling to get to that four pint.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anything else? Any of you'd like to add, Kyle?
I would just say too that one of the cool things that the Red Cross has is that, you know, when you donate your blood to the Red Cross, a lot of times you get the opportunity to see where your blood has gone and to know, you know, that, oh, wow, it went there. And so you know that it saved someone's life or helped with a surgery or whatever. But I know that a lot of donors have talked about that really helps them. Like, oh, it just really means so much to them to know, hey, my blood was used in it could be here in Madison or in our area, or it could be, you know, in another state. And I was interviewing a blood donor just the other day, and he said, I have a very rare blood type, and I always am so excited to see it go to like New York or New Jersey or someplace. And he's like, it always makes me feel so good to know that my blood is special and it really makes a difference in someone's life.
Hey, you talk about saving a life. It doesn't have to be something, you know, miraculous like a CPR, bringing somebody back to life. Just giving blood.
Just giving blood, yeah.
Yeah, the easiest way to do it.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
And what type was the rare blood, by the way? Do you remember?
Well, he was type O neg.
Okay.
But it had a special kind. It was very rare, and so he just was so happy. He's like, I'm just so happy that I'm on the list. He said, I get a lot of calls to donate, and he's like, but it's so worth it. So worth it.
Nice to be wanted too, isn't it?
Yes.
Everybody is wanted.
You bet.
Nobody turned away. Anything else either you'd like to add, Diane? Good to see you again today.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it.
You bet. And Bob, we hope everybody will come out next Wednesday, right?
Oh God, yes. Well, I get excited when it gets closer to it every time.
Yep. We'll keep promoting it here on the radio as well.
And I went to a meeting last night, so the Friday after the blood drive, get prepared to get your poppy, because the poppies are out also.
Oh, sure. It's poppy season.
The MIA day.
And Tootsie Rolls, too, right?
Yeah. Well, I can bring them along and give them a Tootsie Roll.
Okay. That sounds good. Thanks for all of you for coming in here today. We appreciate it. Always good to see you, Kyle.
Good to see you, Phil.
Come back and see us again. Kyle Krieger, Executive Director for the Southwest here for the American Red Cross, and Blood Services Account Manager Diane Nichols and Local Coordinator Bob Shear on this portion of the morning show.
And
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Can you believe the next heating season is just a few months away? Hi, this is Amanda from Meyer Oil and LP. With a busy summer season, don't forget to call and get your summer fill. Or if you're considering a new fuel provider, please call and talk with one of our friendly office staff at 608-524-3914. Call today and join the Meyer Oil and LP family.
What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub, steamy sauna, racquetball, exercise classes, exercise equipment, strength equipment, and lots of help from new friends. Exercise when it works best for you. Simon's Recreation Complex exercise rooms are available to members 24/7 with a keyless entry device. Would you like to learn how to swim or learn how to swim better? Simon's is offering classes or private lessons for adults and children. Call today, 608-647-8522. Visit in person or visit online at simonsrec.com. Let Simon's Recreation Complex and Richland Center be your partner in change. Remember, you provide the commitment to fitness, and Simon's has the means to make it happen.
Attention auto mechanics. TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow, and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full-service automotive repair facility with a fun, low-stress, family-owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Auto Works, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's wider spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Supplemental Security Income Program provides monthly payments to help meet basic needs, like putting food on the table, paying the rent, or buying new shoes for growing feet. You may qualify if your income and financial resources are low, and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. Call 1-800-772-1213 or go to ssa.gov/SSI to start to apply. Produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
The Muscadet Chamber of Commerce will be hosting the 25th annual Fall Opener Banquet, and that's coming up on Saturday, September 21st. Joining us today live by phone is Vice President of the Muscadet Chamber, Matt Schneider. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, not bad. It seems like we just did this. just a year has passed since the last time we talked about this, but here we go again. And this is a special one, your 25th, isn't it?
Yeah, this is our 25th annual opener. So we are excited and have some new things this year. So excited to share some information about that.
Are you currently selling tickets for it?
Yeah, tickets are for sale. We have tickets for sale first time ever. Website, so MuscadetChamber.com, so you can buy your tickets online and then pick up your tickets at the door. Otherwise, if you want to stop in, we have them available at Claire Bank in Muscadet, Community First Bank in Muscadet, Walsh's Ace Hardware in Muscadet, and then the Richland County Bank there in Richland Center.
Tell me about the events that will make this year special at St. John's Gym that day.
Yeah, so the date for this year's fall opener is Saturday, September 21st. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Single ticket is $50, couple is $90, and we have just a variety of raffles. I think one of the things that make this banquet special is the variety of raffles, the different prizes that are set up to interest everyone. We have things from sporting event tickets, hunting and fishing trips, spa packages, golf outings. We have guns and outdoor living, just a lot of different items that you can get in on for raffles and prizes.
Yeah, it sounds like a full night of stuff and really a good meal, it sounds like, as well, Matt.
Yeah, so along with your ticket cost does include a buffet dinner of steak and fish, along with a lot of great sides, and then entry into our grand prizes and door prizes as well.
Okay, and then do you have somebody that kind of hosts it and MCs it for you?
Yeah, so the MC is actually a volunteer of the chamber. Jay Adams helps us out with that. And then I'm on stage with him trying to help keep things organized, but we also have a lot of volunteers that help run our raffles and get things set up. It really is a year-long process for the chamber. It's a good event every year.
And that night, you can use a card or cash or check to pay for your items?
Absolutely, yeah. So all ways of paying is totally fine with us. So you'll have opportunities both ways there.
Well, let's talk about some of the projects that the chamber has been taking part in. It's been a busy last year for you, hasn't it?
It has. The fall opener is how we really fund the fall opener, or the fall opener is how we fund all of our projects. And a couple of our big projects recently. Community, so the Wisconsin River boat landing, and talks about the history of the river, Native American history, Effigy Mount, and it goes through town and ends at our railroad park, where we actually helped with the American Legion build a new shelter down at the railroad park, and has more information about industry in Muscadet and the area, along with the railroad coming through southwest Wisconsin, the cheese industry in Muscadet, so just a lot of really fun information. And so those boards will also drive you to our new website where it gives even more information about the history of Muscadet, but just southwest Wisconsin in general.
Muscadet has a rich history, and I think it's important to preserve that for the next generation, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's had some really, really awesome help from Ken Theed and Mark Cupp with a lot of the history and making sure that stuff is documented. It's preserved on the website, so forever and ever it's out there now, and it was definitely a project that the Chamber wanted to take on. We've had a lot of volunteers from helping pour concrete and put the signs up, and donations from the village, and just a lot of people have been very instrumental in helping out with the project, and we definitely want to thank all of them. And the donations for people attending the opener has been put back into this project.
So if somebody's listening, businesses or individuals, you're still accepting funds to help out with the Muscadet Historic Mile?
We are. We're accepting funds. There's actually a place to donate right on our new website. So if you cannot attend the fall opener, but you would like to either become a member or donate towards that project, you would be able to get on that MuscadetChamber.com website and make a donation or join.
You've had new businesses join your community in the past year, haven't you?
We have. If you haven't been through downtown Muscadet in a while, it's definitely time to come back and check out downtown. We have a new distillery. We also have, there's a new coffee ice cream shop downtown, realty business downtown. There's definitely some improvements made to the downtown, and we'll definitely invite anyone who hasn't been down there in a while to stop by.
If a business or company joins a Muscadet Chamber, what do they get for doing that?
Sure. So you would be listed on the website. We've had funds available in the past for different things for our members as well. We are always looking for more people to join and be active in the chamber and volunteer time to help the Muscadet area. So we donate money to not just in Muscadet, but we've donated money to projects outside of town, Volca, Blue River, Fire EMS, Friends of Blue River, different projects in the area. So we would invite anyone that wants to and make the area a better place.
Indeed, and to join up, and you don't necessarily have to be a member to be a part of that event coming up on the Saturday night 21st get-together. You welcome people from far and wide, I'm sure, normally, don't you?
Yeah, we have people from all over the region that come. Many people have been there for many, many years and enjoy coming back and enjoying the variety of raffles and prizes. I know that WRCO will have some tickets to give away. We do announce our Citizen of the Year at the event, so we're excited to make that announcement to just add a little bit to the event.
Yeah, you've had some fairly renowned folks be the Citizen of the Year over the years. Is there a place like a Hall of Fame where their names are listed or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually put it in the new shelter down at the Railroad Park. We have a plaque that hangs down there and lists everybody who's been a Citizen of the Year since the 1960s, I believe.
Oh, that's incredible. Lots of names there, too. So it's a secret until Saturday night who that's going to be, Saturday night the 21st, right?
Yeah, I believe the family knows, but no, that'll be announced at the fall opener.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. And in the meantime, a beautiful chance, especially with the weather nice this fall, to take the walk along Wisconsin Avenue and take in the historic Muscadet Mile. That would be, you don't even need a tour guide for that, do you?
You don't. Yeah, you can stop by the different locations where the signage is at, go through town. There's QR codes posted on those boards, and you can just scan those and get even more in-depth information on the Muscadet Chamber website.
All right. And as you mentioned, we'll be giving away a ticket here not too far down the road for the fall opener for the Muscadet Chamber of Commerce. Anything else you'd like to add, Matt?
Nope. I think that's everything. Just check out the website or stop in one of those local businesses to buy a ticket.
Great. We hope a lot of folks do. Thanks for joining us today, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Vice President of the Muscadet Chamber of Commerce, Matt Schneider, joining us, talking about that fall opener, their 25th. It's up on Saturday night, September 21st. Doors open at 5, dinner at 6:45, and the auction to follow.
Don't miss incredible deals at Macy's one-day sale today. Save on what you need to get ready for cooler weather with limited-time specials so good they won't last. Like fall cardigans, 40% off. Shoes for her, 30 to 50% off. And reversible comforters, 60 to 70% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn rewards on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
50% off. That's 50% off. Krogan's Hardware in Boscobel is now 50% off.
What do they have, you ask?
Power tools, hand tools, lawn and garden, grass seed and fertilizer, work gloves, small appliances, Weber grills, hunting items, rental equipment, dinette sets, furniture, trimmers, humidifiers, paint, plumbing, electrical, and more.
Now, all half price.
Krogan's will close the door soon.
First come, first served.
Hurry in today. All sales final. Cash or credit card only. Open daily 8 to 6, Saturday till 4. Excludes large appliances, but they're on sale too. Krogan's retirement sale ends soon. Come to Boscobel and save storewide.
Pappas Trading Post and Arena is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission bow retailer. Pappas Trading Post offers you a team of experienced professionals ready to help you get the perfect new bow, crossbow, arrows, or accessories for the season. Pappas team can also tune up your current bow for peak performance when it matters most. And they have a 40-yard indoor range to sharpen your aim. Visit Pappas Trading Post, 2 miles west of Arena on the corner of Highway 14 and H.
Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday 9 to 5.
From infants to men size 19, the Shoebox has shoes for the whole family in the latest styles and fashions. Boots by Columbia, Wolverine, Cat, High Tech, Skechers, Bear Paw, and more. Even football, basketball, baseball, and track cleats. Visit the Shoebox, a local Wisconsin company, and it's a win-win for you and the community. Shop elsewhere, and your money says goodbye. The Shoebox, located in Black Earth, where you receive service like it ought to be.
On our morning show, we welcome Amber Sawyer to our broadcast and in the morning show studios today. Amber has written a well-renowned book, a children's book that we're going to learn a little bit more about. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Phil.
For those that maybe are kind of trying to put two and two together, you're on the air with us as the chef at Quail Run. Is that
That's
correct?
That's correct. That's correct. I'm also an author.
Isn't that something? So which is like the full-time job, the author or the chef part of it?
Right now, the chef part. Is paying for the author part.
I hear you. So how long ago did you have the idea for this book, which is called Love to Race?
Correct. I wrote this book back in 2020 during COVID when there was nothing else to do. I decided to get myself through the year by writing a children's book, and that was what got me through the year. So it came out in September of 2020.
And it's done really well for you, hasn't it?
It has done really well for me. I visited almost half the country. Last year alone, I did 80 different author visits in 18 different states. I traveled about 10,000 miles with my book. I met children in schools and libraries all across the country. I met some wonderful people, saw some amazing sights. Sometimes when I'm on the trip, I look around at the scenery and the atmosphere, and I can't believe that my book has gotten me as far as it has.
Yeah, so you've seen the country, basically.
I have. Yeah. I have. This spring, for Read Across America Week, I was all the way out in the Dakotas. So I traveled for 10 days, and I had 25 author visits in 6 different states. So I traveled all the way out to the Dakotas, all over Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska. Just last month, I was in New York on a book tour. In a few weeks, I head out to Ohio for a few days for selling my book. And then in the fall, I head down to Kentucky on about a 2-week book tour as well.
I'm guessing this book will go well in Kentucky.
Yes, definitely. I chose Kentucky. I've never been there before, for one, and being prime horse country, I think it's a great target to come and get my book. And there's a racetrack also down in Lexington, Kentucky, that is famous for harness racing as well. So,
yeah, well, tell us a little bit about the background, where you got the idea for Love to Race.
Well, my family has always had harness racing horses. This horse actually did race at the Richland County Fair just a few years ago. Back in 2014, 2015, he raced at the Richland County Fair. It's something my family has always done. My father's been in the harness racing industry over 50 years. I've been in it since I was 16. I'm not going to tell you how many years I've been in it. I don't want to age myself, but we've always had harness racing in our family. And since the book came out, the harness racing has taken a back seat, and I'm concentrating more on this book and my next book.
Can you give us a little bit of a little bit of the storyline?
Well, the unique thing about this book, Phil, is it's written from the horse's point of view. So, and this horse is a very expressionist horse. I mean, you can tell what he's thinking. You can tell what he's, you know, everything. You can just tell his emotions because he's very expressive. And we've had him 11 years, so we know him very, very well. So the interesting thing about this book is it's told from the horse's perspective, which makes it unique.
Okay. Has the horse gone with you on tour?
The horse comes with me to some of the events in the state of Wisconsin. He comes to schools and libraries all over the state. In October, on October 12th, I'll be at the Richland Center Library, and there's a chance that he may be with me that day as well.
Ah, so it's based on a true story, then,
correct.
It sounds like. So that the horse and you experienced then?
Yes, correct. This horse was injured at the age of 13. He was racing at a racetrack in Ohio, and he injured himself pretty bad, and it was deemed that he would never race again, and actually was suggested to put him down. And a friend of mine owned him at the time, gave him to me for free, and said that this horse really needs a second shot to get back on the racetrack. So at the age of 14, we raced him around the county fairs in Wisconsin, including Richland Center, and he won a race up in Michigan, which for a horse of 14 years old is unheard of, phenomenal. And we were actually able to race him again at the age of 15, and he won again, which made him the oldest winning racehorse in the entire United States. And it was such a great story and such a heartwarming and emotional story and an uplifting story that I just had to make it into a book and share it with the country. And now it's traveled to nearly 40 states all over the country, and I believe up to 10 countries now all over the world that this book has been read to.
What was the secret for rehabbing for your horse? I mean, how did he get better? How long did it take?
It took us about 9 months to rehab him. And a lot of the secret wasn't really a secret. It was just sticking him out in that good old-fashioned Wisconsin snow to help heal that leg up again.
Oh, okay. So then that kind of got better, and then you kind of gradually, I guess, inch by inch, step by step, got going again.
Yep, little by little, every race after every race, we would see if he was ready to race again, and he had enough heart and enough stamina and enough go that we just kept racing him. And finally, at the age of 15, at the end of his 15-year-old year, we decided that was enough, and it was time to retire him. And now he's an ambassador for the horse racing country and an ambassador for his own book. And the kids get to meet him, and they get to read the book, and they get to learn about being an author and get excited about writing.
Okay. So he's living a good life. He always has, but right now in the retirement years, it sounds.
He's living a wonderful life right now. He's 24 years old, soon to be 25. He's still in great health, knock on wood. So we're looking forward to having more children meet him. And he's got so many fans out there. Every time we're touring around the libraries and things, there's so many people that follow him and show up just to be able to meet him.
It seems like every little girl, probably boy too, but I raised two daughters, two of the three, and they always wanted a horse, you know? And I think that a lot of children can relate or maybe even kind of dream about having a horse like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've never gone a day in my life without horses. And
yeah.
I have to thank my father for that. So
you're very fortunate then.
I am.
Yeah, absolutely. And harness racing is a really big thing all the way across the country. But I know we have some really enthusiastic people around here with harness racing.
We do. We actually have a few people right up on Highway 14 that still do harness racing. So.
And do you still get involved with it from time to time?
Or? I'm going to be going to the Vernon County Fair next week to watch the harness races and probably sing the national anthem for the races.
Oh, so. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. You're multi-talented. You sing the national anthem, too. So.
I do my best.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do my best.
When you were young and reading books and things like that, did you dream about writing your own book someday?
I always took a lot of advanced English classes, and I always enjoyed writing, and I was always pretty good at it. So this book pretty much came naturally. There wasn't a whole lot of editing or proofreading or anything behind it. The book came pretty natural because I do have a little bit of a talent in writing. I'm actually working on my second book now. It's called Every Horse Has a Story. That's looking to come out March of 2025, and I'm going to take that all over the country with this book as well.
Is it a sequel to this book?
No, this book's going to be a little bit different. This book is going to be for the more advanced reader, so for middle school aged and up, even adults. It's going to be a chapter book, so we're going to have about 30 to 35 horse stories. They're all going to be true stories. People from all over the country have called me and contributed stories, heartwarming stories, true stories about their horses that have touched their lives, and in return, I'm going to touch more people's lives with my new book.
Oh, that is wonderful. So, and do you go around, like when you're at some of the harness racing, do you kind of interview people in person then from their personal
standpoint? Everybody knows that I'm always looking for horse stories, and we might even interview Hank later today. He said he's got a horse story he wanted to tell me about, so we might have to interview Hank.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. But do you think that, so you've gone ahead and you've written a book, you've got a second one coming out. Do you think that all of us have a book in them, or how do you look at it?
I think everybody has a great story. In it, there's a lot of people that since I've met them, I've actually inspired them to go ahead and write their own stories. There's been a lot of people, sometimes even kids, have written their own little book, and they'll present it to me, or they'll say that since I've met you, I want to write my own book. I want to be just like you. And to be able to inspire kids and young people to be able to write their own book is just, there's no words for it.
Yeah. What was your favorite, did you have a favorite horse book growing up or movie or anything like that?
I loved the Black Beauty books and the Black Stallion books for sure.
Sure, absolutely. And I was thinking even the movie Secretariat was really a tremendous movie as well. That's about a racehorse, obviously.
Yes, it was. That was about a thoroughbred racehorse.
Yeah, right. So those are very inspiring there. So, and you've got a chance to go around to the area. Have you been in all the area schools or are you still looking to get in the door?
Still looking to get into some of the area schools. Being new down here, you know, working at the golf course, so I'm trying to get a little bit more well known, but I'm trying to get into some of the area schools as well. Like I said, I'm going to be at the Richland Library on October 12th, 10:30 in the morning. We're going to have some crafts. I'll read the book. You may get a chance to meet Derek. And then on October 19th, we're going to be over in DeSoto with the American Standardbred Adoption Program. That's at the Retreat Sportsman's Club on County Road N in DeSoto. That starts at 1 o'clock. They're going to have demonstrations and you'll be able to meet Derek and purchase the book as well if you'd like.
Derek is the horse's name.
The horse's name is Derek. Yes, we should have mentioned that earlier.
So you trailer him and you take him to these events, and he's not going to walk in the library, is he?
He actually has been inside a few libraries.
Has he really?
Phil, he has his very own library card over by Germantown, over near the Milwaukee area. We brought him inside the library. He got his very own library card. He's also a member of the Fox Lake Public Library, the Horicon Public Library, and he also has a library card at the Mayville Library and the Juno Library. So he is more than welcome. And the books he checked out was Secretariat, of course, Black Beauty, Spirit. He checked out all kinds of different horse movies and horse books.
I was trying to think of others. My Friend Flicka, right?
That's another good
there's
one.
There's another horse
Yeah,
one
that's another good one.
That Derek could check out someday.
Yeah,
maybe.
He could. He has his own library card. They issued him a horse-sized library card, so he's welcome in the library anytime he would like to.
Right. All I can think of is Mr. Ed, you know?
Yes. That was a great show.
Yes, it was a great show. Oh, but Derek, yeah, maybe he'll have his own show. Could you see this book possibly being made into a movie?
I would love to see this book being made into a movie. I just am looking for the right connections out in California to get it made into a movie, and I'm still working on it.
Okay. Who would play you in the movie? Any idea?
I would want to play myself.
Oh, sure.
Definitely. That's something I would love to check off my bucket list, to star in a movie.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be great.
I could see it kind of as an animated feature as well.
Definitely. Something Disney would like to pick up or...
Uh-huh. So how many, you got one book, you're getting into the other one. Any idea of the number of books that you'd like to do or just when the inspiration comes to you?
I think I'd like to keep going. I mean, if I could do a book every other year, I think that would be just phenomenal. The response I've gotten from this book has just been incredible. When I wrote this book, I thought it was something that maybe just my friends and family would buy and I would be happy with that. And now I have people calling me up to speak at their demonstrations all over the country. I mean, it's just been more than I'd ever imagined it would be.
How hard was the process to get it published and get it illustrated and everything?
The publisher, he's out of Muquanago, Wisconsin, which is out on the east side of the state. He's from Muquanago. His name's Mike Nicoy, Nicoy 11 Publishing. He's wonderful. I call him my personal cheerleader because he's always encouraging me, always telling me I'm doing a fantastic job. So he's been great. The process of publishing the book was fairly easy because he guided me along everything I needed to do. And the illustrator is actually a friend of mine. I've known her for, I'm aging myself, 25 plus years. So she did the illustrations for me for the book. And okay. She's also illustrating my next book as well.
Okay. They're wonderful illustrations too, by the way.
Yes, they're all watercolor illustrations.
Oh, isn't that something? So when you do the library thing, do you actually read some of it aloud?
I do. I read the entire book aloud, and then the kids are allowed to ask questions. Sometimes the kids get a little personal with their questions, but they're kids. So yeah, I read the book aloud. We do a craft project usually related to the book, something horse related, and then they get to meet Derek. So they have a whole nother spiel of questions about Derek. So
what's a typical question that a youngster would ask you? Is there one question that comes up all the time?
Depending on the age group, most kids want to know when his birthday is and if he gets presents.
Well, what's the answer?
The answer is yes. Of course, he gets all kinds of carrots.
And his day is, when's his birthday?
His birthday is in November. Oh. I don't know the date exactly. Sometimes I just make it up just so the kids know. Sometimes we just make up a date, but his birthday is sometime in November.
That's great. Love to Race is the book. How can people get a hold of it, Amber?
You can get a hold of it on Amazon. It's available on Amazon. It's also available at Walmart. Or if you want to contact me, I have plenty available, and you can contact me on Facebook, and I'd be happy to autograph a copy for you. So.
Or you can come to Quail Run.
Or you can come to Quail Run. That's right. You can stop at the golf course, have a cheesecake, and grab an autograph copy of the book, or stop at the library on October 12th, or out at the Retreat Sportsman's Club on October 19th.
You know, when you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life. And so, I mean, I know it's a lot of hours, but it sounds like you're doing what you love. Two different things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.